HarperCollins presents Mahabharata Stories by Deepa Agarwal. Read by Shivani Vakil Savan. A note for listeners before we begin. Don't forget to download the enhanced PDF containing the glossary of terms for this title from your audiobook provider. How the Mahabharata was written. Veda Vyasa sat under the shade of a great banyan tree. It was a hot, still day. The air was so oppressive that even the birds who nestled in the trees were silent. The learned sage was silent too. He was an impressive sight, with his flowing white beard and the thick knot of hair crowning his head. The strings of enormous Rudraksha beads that hung around his neck and were wound around his forearms and his saffron robes marked him as a man of religion. His disciples were ranged around him, young men, some mere boys, with shaved heads on which the tufts of their shikhas or top knots were prominent. Their eyes were fixed on their guru. Some looked puzzled, others anxious for Vyasa to begin the day's lessons. But the sage's mind seemed elsewhere. His large hypnotic eyes gazed unseeingly into the distance, and his wide brow was furrowed with lines of worry. The disciples glanced at each other questioningly, but the sage continued to be preoccupied. All of a sudden, he nodded slowly, and a faint smile flitted across his face. He seemed to have found a solution to his problem. It was a knotty one indeed. It had weighed on his mind night and day, disturbing his sleep at night and his concentration during the day. Vyasa, known as Krishna Dvaipayana because of his dark skin and the fact that he had been born on a dweep or an island, was the son of Maharishi Parashar and the fisher girl Satyavati. He was also called Veda Vyasa because he had divided the Vedas and organized the Vedic hymns. A man blessed with great knowledge, Vyasa had been granted a vision by Brahma the creator himself. This vision led Vyasa to compose a vast epic, a great heroic poem. When the poem was complete, who should turn up but the travelling sage Narada? Narayan, Narayan, he greeted Vyasa, strumming the tambura that he always carried. Narayan, Narayan, Narad Muni, Vyasa replied enthusiastically. You've arrived at a very auspicious time. Please, lend an ear to my new creation. And without waiting for an answer, Vyasa began to recite his great work in a sonorous voice. All 18,000 shlokas, also known as verses, of it. It took a few days, but time was under the control of the great sages. The rigorous penances they had undergone had given them special powers. Hence, days felt like hours to them. Narayana, Narayana! What an extraordinary work, exclaimed the advisor of the gods, when Vyasa was done. It is magnificent, Vyasa, unique. But you must write it down. That way it can reach all mankind. There is so much in it that will be of benefit to them. Why shouldn't I just teach it to my disciples? Vyasa replied. They will recite it at gatherings in different places and people will hear it. Thus, it will spread throughout the world. Teach your disciples definitely, Narada agreed. But writing will give it not only permanence, but also accuracy. No matter how good a person's memory might be, it can play tricks. Some important parts might be forgotten or distorted in the retelling. It's an enormous work, Narada, Vyasa objected. Who will be able to take it down completely? Is there anyone who will be equal to the task?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?